السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. إن الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وأصحابه وأزواجه وذرياته بارك وسلم وتسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد. My dear brothers and sisters, Ramadan Kareem, Ramadan Mubarak to all of you. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make this month full of khair and barakah for you and enable us all to earn His pleasure, because there is no month that is more suitable for that. May Allah give you this entire month and then your life thereafter in perfect health and in prosperity and in barakah, inshallah. We have entered a month the like of which does not exist. A month that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to wait for with great expectation. A month that his Sahaba and the people of knowledge used to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the whole year preceding that month to grant them this month. A month that they would prepare to take full advantage of. A month where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not just level the playing field, but He loads it in favor of His slaves and against the cohorts of shaitan. A month that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in His majesty and grace granted to all those who woke up today. I would like to remind myself and you about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalaluhu said to us about this month. Where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Shahr Ramadan alladhi unzila fihi al-Qur'an, Hudan lin-nas wa bayyinatin min al-huda wal furqan, Faman shahida minkum ash-shahra falyasum, ومن كان مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخر يريد الله بكم اليسر ولا يريد بكم العسر ولتكملوا العدة ولتكبروا الله على ما هداكم ولعلكم تشكرون.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, which means the month of Ramadan al-Kareem in which was revealed the Quran, a guidance for mankind and clear proof for the guidance and the criterion between good and evil, right and wrong. So whichever of you sights the moon, the crescent of the first night of the moon of Ramadan, and he or she is resident in their place of residence, then that person must fast that month, and whoever is ill or on a journey, they can fast the same number of days from other days after Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends for you ease, and He does not want to make things difficult for you. He wants that you must complete the same number of days and that you must glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Takbir Allahu Akbar, on seeing the crescent of the months of Ramadan and Shawwal, for having guided you so that you may be grateful to Him. I remind myself and you that the first requirement of this deen is gratitude, is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalalu. Shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this month in order to please Him. Shukr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us the iman to understand what this month means. Ramadan does not come for Muslims alone. Ramadan is the month. Everyone, whoever is living on the earth, has Ramadan. But not everyone takes advantage of Ramadan. May Allah forgive us, there are many Muslims who do not take advantage of Ramadan. So what is there to be said about those who are not Muslim? So we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu that He not only gave us Ramadan, but gave us the understanding of what Ramadan is and gave us the fikr to take advantage of this great month. In this month, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made fasting fard on us and told us that this is for us to get close to Him. What is a bigger honor and what is a bigger blessing than to become a wali of Allah, than to become close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prohibited us from halal only to understand the importance of staying away from haram. Only to understand the importance of obeying His orders, so that we understand that it is His will, Jalla Jalaluhu, and it's His pleasure that are the only things that matter. not our culture, not our society, our logic, understanding, popularity, or friends, or anything else. Only the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala matters. We obey Allah without question, not without understanding. We obey Him because we understand who He is and what our relationship to Him is. And that is what Ramadan comes every year to remind us about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, kutiba alaykumus siyamu, kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum, la'allakum tattaqoon. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, O you believe, a sawm, siyam, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you, so that you may become al-muttaqoon. I remind myself and you, my brothers and sisters, that the promises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Quran, the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which Allah promised, is only and only for people who are muttaqoon. It's not only for people who have entered Islam, not for muslimoon. It's always for muttaqoon. Hidayat is for muttaqoon. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ هُدًى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ in Surah An-Nahl. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the muttaqeen, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned the muhsinun, which is a step behind, beyond being muttaqi. But there is nothing mentioned for something which is for somebody who lacks taqwa. So taqwa is the absolute fundamental boundary condition of being close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And in order for this to happen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave us this beautiful month of Ramadan. The purpose of fasting is to increase our taqwa and to become conscious of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives and the importance of gaining His pleasure. I remind myself and you that in this dunya, Allah made this dunya al-alamul asbab. Allah made this dunya something which, where to get something, you have to do something. And this applies across the board for everything. To get something, you have to do something. Whatever it is. To get food, you have to do something. To get a smile from somebody else, you have to smile first. Right? Anything. To earn a living, you have to do something. To get hurt, you have to do something. Good or evil, you have to do something to get something. How do we believe that we are going to get Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without doing anything? That is not the usul of this dunya. It's like somebody saying, I can fly without a plane. You can say that, it's not going to happen. That is not the usul that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made. Allah did not make us aerodynamic. Allah did not make us capable of flying on our own. We need help to fly. So let us not fool ourselves by imagining that somehow we are going to get connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, somehow we are going to get the ta'alluq ma'a Allah without doing anything. It's not, it doesn't happen, doesn't work like that. So therefore the purpose of fasting is to increase our consciousness of the presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in our lives. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created us for His purpose and not so that we could spend our lives chasing that which He created for us. Allah created the dunya for us and Allah created us for Himself. And instead of trying to connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are chasing something which has been created for us. What is the need to chase that? It's like your shadow. You chase your shadow, you will never catch it. And you run away from your shadow, you will never miss it because the shadow chases you. So you want to head towards the sun or you want to head towards your shadow? You decide that. Allah is not the sun, Allah is the creator of the sun and the moon and everything that exists. My brothers and sisters, Ramadan al-Kareem comes to remind us about our maqsad, about our purpose, so that we can fulfill it. Because on the day of judgment, we will be questioned about that purpose, whether we fulfilled the purpose of our creation or not. My brothers and sisters, we have become used to living our lives as if Allah does not exist. Listen carefully what I'm saying. We have become used to living our lives as if Allah does not exist. We are not atheists by word, but we seem to be atheists by our actions. Seriously, let us look at our lives and ask ourselves this question. Does my life, my words, my actions demonstrate that I believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and that I believe in meeting Him on the day of judgment? If someone were to film my life, a third party, if someone were to install cameras where every moment of my life, a given day is filmed, what in that day, in what I say or do, will give this evidence that I believe in Allah and that I believe in meeting Allah on the day of judgment. Is this evidence there? I ask myself this question, and I request you to ask yourself this question. Ask yourself and then decide, because we have to do something about this while we are still alive. Reality, my brothers and sisters, does not depend on belief. Reality is real, whether we like to believe it or not. And Allah is real. Allah is real. His Nabi is real. His day of judgment is real. The meeting with Him is real. The Jannah is real. And the fire is real. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam mentioned this in his dua. It is to save us from this insane way of life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us Ramadan every year. To remind us that He exists and that He and His pleasure are important and that they are a part of our lives. They are a part of our success and they are a part of our failures when we fail to do what it needs to gain His pleasure. He and His pleasure are a part of our gains and our losses. My brothers and sisters, I remind myself and you, factor Allah into the equation because He is in it anyway. Ibn Khuzaymah, the great Shafi'i scholar and muhaddith, he reported on the authority of Salman al-Farsi radiallahu anhu that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam delivered a khutbah on the last day of Sha'ban. And the meaning of this khutbah is, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "O people, you are about to enter the shadow of a great blessed month. A night therein is better than 1,000 months. Allah made fasting during this month an obligation and encouraged people to perform extra prayers during its night. Seeking nearness to Allah through a good deed, nafil good deed, would be considered like performing an obligatory act of worship. The nafil will have the reward of a fard. In turn, the performance of a fard, an obligatory act of worship during this month, will be rewarded 70 times more than during any other month. It is the month of patience, and the reward for patience is Jannah. It is the month of comforting others, and the month during which believers will enjoy plenty. They will enjoy barakah." Rasulullah ﷺ went on to say, he said, make sure you frequently do 4 things, 2 of which please your Rabb, and the other 2 are indispensable for your salvation in the hereafter. The 2 that would please your Rabb are testifying to the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, La ilaha illallah, and seeking repentance, making tawbah. The 2 that please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are for us to renew our aqidah on tawheed, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah, and to make tawbah for all that we have done. And the other 2 which are indispensable for our salvation are to ask the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enter Jannah and seeking refuge in Him from the hellfire. Allahumma inna nas'aluka al-jannah wa saqatika minan nar wa na'udhika minan nar. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu narrated that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Whoever does not give up false statements," which is telling lies, "and evil deeds, and speaking bad words to others, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his leaving his food and drink." The one who cannot control his tongue, the one who can't stop telling lies, who can't stop doing ghibat, the one who can't stop cursing and shouting and screaming and raving and ranting, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not in need of his fasting. And this is a hadith in Bukhari. Fasting is Ramadan, sawm is not only not eating and not drinking. It is a complete change in our lives, not only until the day of Eid, but for the rest of our lives. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam continued in that khutbah and he said, "O people, a month has approached you laden with blessing, mercy and forgiveness. It's a month which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala regards as the best of all months. Its days in the sight of Allah are the best of days. Its nights are the best of nights. And its hours are the best of hours. It's a month in which you are invited to be the guests of Allah, and you are regarded during it as worthy of enjoying Allah's generosity. Your breathing in it is regarded as zikr of Allah, and your sleep is regarded as worship." And your voluntary acts of worship, nawafil, are accepted and your du'as are answered. Therefore ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your Rabb, with sincere intention and pure hearts, to enable you to fast during this month and to recite His book. For only a wretch is the one who is deprived of Allah's forgiveness during this great month. And let your hunger and thirst during this month remind you of the hunger and thirst of the day of resurrection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to save us from the trials and tribulations of the day of judgment. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, give charity to the poor ones among you. Surround your elderly with respect and be kind to your youngsters. Visit your kin, your relatives, safeguard your tongues, and do not look at what Allah has prohibited you from looking at, and do not listen to anything that you have been prohibited from listening to. Be kind to orphans of others so that your own orphans will equally receive kindness. Repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for your sins and raise your hands to Him in dua during the times of your salah, for they are the best times during which Allah looks with mercy to His servants and answers their pleas when they plead with Him. O people, your souls are hostages to your actions. Therefore, release them by seeking the forgiveness of Allah. Your backs are overburdened by the weight of your sins. Therefore, lighten their burden by prolonging your sujood. Be informed that the Exalted and Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sworn by His dignity not to punish those who establish their salah and make sujood to Him, and not to terrify them by the sight of the fire when people are resurrected for judgment. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the tawfiq to establish our salah, to keep the masajid as abad and as filled with worshippers after Ramadan as they are during Ramadan. There is a tragedy of this entire world that on the day of Eid, the masjid becomes empty. And then the masjid does not fill up with people until the next Ramadan. Islam is not an event-based religion. It doesn't come Friday to Friday, Ramadan to Ramadan, and so on. It's a complete way of life. Salah is fard, and the salah in the masjid is fard for the male, not only in Ramadan, in the whole year. So on what basis do you walk away from the masjid when Ramadan is over? Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, O people, whomsoever among you enables a believer to break his fast. Enables a believer, meaning that believer is not able to break his fast. This is not a dalil for iftar parties, please. O people, whoever among you enables a believer to break his fast during this month will receive a reward equal to one who set a slave free, and he will receive forgiveness for all his past sins. The people asked Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they said, Ya Rasulullah, not all of us have the ability to help somebody else to break a fast. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, avoid the fire of Jahannam even by one date, and avoid the fire of Jahannam even by one drink of water. O people, he continued and he said, O people, whoever among you improves his conduct during this month will have a safe passage on the right path when many feet will slip away. And whoever among you decreases the burden on his servant will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, decreasing his reckoning. Please see what happens to our servants, especially at the time of iftar. You are sitting making dua and your servant is in the kitchen making samosas. Please don't do this. They are Muslim. Give them time for making dua. Leave them, give them, free them. Don't keep them stuck in the kitchen making all kinds of food for you which you don't need, because you are used to all kinds of iftars. Don't make them wake up at 2 o'clock in the morning to make parathas for you because you want to have parathas for suhoor. Eat cereal, let them pray, let them make tahajjud, let them make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We put this burden on our servants, and we put this burden on the women in our families. I seriously warn you, do not face them on the day of judgment, when they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and they will say, this man kept me away from you at a time when I wanted to pray, and I could not pray because I needed my job. I could not pray because my husband would have been angry with me, and my husband tried to sell me this line that serving him is better than worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Make tawbah. Make tawbah. Eat cereal for break for suhoor. It's good for you also. Break your fast with dates and with some fruit. And don't alter the fruit by making into kachalu and all kinds of stuff which also requires work. No. Eat the fruit. It's good for you. Leave people alone. Let them, give them time. Ease their burden. Don't make life difficult for them in Ramadan. Rasulullah said, whoever abstains from harming others will be spared the wrath and anger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when he meets him. Whoever among you is generous to an orphan will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being generous to him on the day of judgment. Whoever among you improves his ties with his relatives will be rewarded by Allah, including him in his mercy. And whoever among you severs and breaks his ties, especially with his mahram relatives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will withhold his mercy from that person when he meets him. Go and make friends with your parents. Go and make friends with your brothers and sisters who you haven't talked to for a long time. It's only your ego which prevents you from doing that. Otherwise, be prepared for the mercy of Allah to be withheld from you when you meet him. Whoever among you offers voluntary prayers, nawafil, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will decree a clearance for him from the punishment of the fire. Whoever among you performs an obligation, who does a fard, will receive the reward of one who has performed 70 faraid in other months. Whoever among you increases the sending of blessings unto me, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is talking about himself. Whoever increases sending durood and salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make the balance of his good deeds heavy when balances will be light. So make send a lot of durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially on Jummah, it's the sunnah anyway, and do that even more in Ramadan and make this into a habit. The durood and salam, salatu salam on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is barakah. It is something which frees us from stress. It's something which solves problems. It is something where you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends salam on you 10 times. This is the only dhikr for which this has been prescribed. He said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whoever among you recites one ayat of the Quran will receive the blessing of one who recited the entire Quran in another month. O people, the gates of heaven, the gates of Jannah in this month are kept open. So pray that your Rabb does not close them against you. And the gates of the fire are kept closed. So pray that your Rabb does not open them for you. And the shayateen are kept chained. Therefore pray that Allah your Rabb does not unleash them against you. Seriously, let us take stock of what we are doing with ourselves, my brothers and sisters. When the slave approaches Ramadan with this knowledge of the mercy and grace of Allah and deep gratitude for all the blessings that He, Jalla Jalaluhu, has bestowed on him, then he becomes conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for his slaves. And in that state, the slave seeks to know his Rabb more, to come close to him and to become obedient to him and to seek his pleasure in all things. And it is about this state that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this beautiful ayat kareema in the middle of the ayat related to Ramadan in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِي إِذَا دَعَانِي فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. And Allah said, and when my slaves ask you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, concerning me, then answer them and tell them that I am indeed near to them. I respond to the dua that they ask me. So let them obey me and believe in me so that they may be rightly guided. See the mercy of our Rabb, my brothers and sisters. When the slave asks about Allah, Allah becomes close to him. He reminds the slave to ask him and he assures him that he will respond to his dua. Build a connection with your Rabb, O people. For that is the only connection which will not break. That is the only connection that is eternal from the time we began and will continue onwards after we have left this life. Nothing that you chase will come with you when you are placed in your graves. And the one who will be with us, we have forgotten. How terrible is that? I remind myself and you to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to seek His forgiveness for all the years of neglect and forgetfulness that we spent in our entire lives. I remind myself and you to make friends with Allah and to love Allah with all our hearts and all our minds and all our beings. Allah said about this handhold of help. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, لا إكراه في الدين قد تبين الرشد من الغي فمن يكفر بالطاغوت ويؤمن بالله فقد استمسك بالعروة الوثقى لا انفصام لها والله سميع عليم. Allah said, there is no compulsion, and there is no compulsion in religion, meaning there is no compulsion on anyone to enter Islam. Islam is presented to a person. You can take it or leave it. There is no force on anyone to enter Islam. Verily, the right path has become distinct from the wrong path. The path has been shown clearly, which is halal, which is haram, which is haq, which is batil. Whoever disbelieves in taqut, وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالتَّاقُوتِ, whoever disbelieves in all false gods, whoever disbelieves in all falsehood and believes in Allah, وَيُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ إِسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَا انْفِصَامَ لَهَا, then that person has grasped, he has held the most trustworthy handhold that will never break. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is Sami'un Alim, is the one who hears all and knows all. My brothers and sisters, you are close to your Rabb. You have made your choice. You have grasped the handhold that will never break. Now ask. Ask Him Jalla Jalaluhu for whatever you want. What are you waiting for? Ask Him, because He is the only one who can give. All the rest is a sham. It's a charade. It's a make-believe, deception, and destined to fail. Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forever. And only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remain. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Don't go away from here. Don't leave this month of Ramadan without taking from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whatever you want. His treasures are open for anyone who obeys Him and follows the sunnah of His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and for anyone who knows how to take from Allah. How many more days do you want to pass without taking from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? How many more days do you want to pass in disobedience of Allah? How many days more do you want to pass in disobeying and going against the sunnah of Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Seriously, ask yourself this question. As I told you, ask yourself this question. Am I an atheist? Or do I believe in Allah? Do I believe in the day of judgment? Or am I only saying that I believe? Ask yourself this question. Seriously, we need to ask ourselves some very painful questions. But it is better to endure that pain now asking the question than to endure the pain of that question being asked to us in the day of judgment. That pain is much more. So don't wait for somebody else to ask that question. Ask the question to yourself. My brothers and sisters, Allah is witness. I have tried my best to teach you as best as I could how to take from the treasures of Allah. Now it's up to you. If you go away empty-handed, then you are responsible. Ask Allah, beg Allah, invoke Him, run to obey Him, and then see what He does for you in your life. He will give you until you are tired. He will give you until you are pleased. He will give you until you say bas. He is the one Jalla Jalaluhu who taught His Nabi what to do with the one who asks. He is the one who taught His Nabi what to do when somebody comes to ask Him, the questioner, the sa'il, the faqir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala advised His Nabi, وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Allah advised His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, when the sa'il comes, when the faqir comes, when the one comes, he wants something, he needs something, and he comes to ask you, don't send him away. Don't send him. Don't send him away empty-handed. Who is saying this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu. He is giving this advice, and He is giving this hukam to His Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Do not send away the one who comes to ask you. What do you think the one who gave the advice himself will do when you go to him to ask? He told His Nabi, don't send them away empty-handed. Do you think He will send you away empty-handed? Do you think He will send you away empty-handed?
when he advised his Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to say, do not send them empty-handed. My brothers and sisters, and who is he? He is the one who has no need. Who was Samad? Lam yalid wa lam yulad wa lam yakul lahu kufuwan ahad. When the human gives, he is giving from what he needs. When Allah gives, he is giving that he does not need. The one who is free from needs. And he is the one who loves to give. He is the one who loves to give. He is the only one who loves the one who asks. We get tired. Try it even with your own parents. With your children, you don't even have to try it. It happens the first time. Ask more than once and you will see the people, they get tired of you. But my Rabb Jalla Jalalu, who is the only one, never gets tired. He likes those who ask. So ask him, don't ask anybody. People will tell you, Allah sent you into this world, you have to work. Dua is work. Asking my Rabb is kasab. Asking my Rabb is effort. And that is the ala effort. Why must I ask anybody else? Why must I ask a creature when I have asked the Creator? I'm not making fatwa, I'm sharing with you what is in my heart. You want to ask, ask. I don't ask. I ask only my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. Because he told me to ask only him. He told me to ask only him. Allah said, Ud'uni. Allah mentions Jalla Jalaluhu. وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ اُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. And then he said, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَكْبِرُونَ عَنْ عِبَادَتِي سَيَدْخُلُونَ جَهَنَّمَ دَاخِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, and your Rabb said and ordered, ask me, ud'uni. He did not say, ask me through this one or that one. He did not say, ask me only for this or that. Boundaryless, because his treasures are boundaryless. Boundaryless because his khudrat is boundaryless. Boundaryless because his generosity is boundaryless. Boundaryless because his mercy and grace is boundaryless. He said, ask me. Ask what? Anything you want. Anything you want. And he promised to punish those who do not ask. So ask him. Again and again and again and again. Knowing that asking itself is ibadah. Dua is ibadah. Ad-dua mukhul ibadah. Aw kama qala alayhi salatu wassalam. Dua is not only ibadah. It is the essence of ibadah. It is the brain of ibadah. It is the peak of ibadah. Whether you get it or not is ibadah by itself. So make dua. And make dua with complete and total yaqeen. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give. That Allah can give. No matter what it is. No matter how impossible it might look to you. My Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu can give. No matter how impossible it might look to you. It is not beyond the qudrat of my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu. So ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knowing that he can give. And knowing that it's up to you to persuade him. Knowing that he likes those who ask. Ask only Allah because he is the only one who likes those who ask. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you all that you ask and then to give you more from his treasures as his gift to you. It is in this context that you need to seek the great ibadah of i'tikaf. See i'tikaf in the context of being the guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his house and his promise to give the one who asks. How much more powerful is the dua of the one who was invited to be the guest and then was given the permission to ask. There is one who is standing at the door and asking. There is one who has been invited into the house and given permission, ask what you want. Is there a difference in the dua of these two or not? My brothers and sisters, if you truly want something and you are not making i'tikaf and you are not making dua for that, then you are fooling yourself. You really don't want that thing.
whether it's success in this dunya or akhirah. This is the reason that Rasulullah was so particular about itikaf that he even made khada of it when he did not do it 1 year. Khada of an ibadah which is nafil, as he didn't want to miss its power and goodness. He did it because he understood the power of the dua of itikaf. So if you are planning to skip itikaf, ask yourself where you are going and what you think you are going to achieve there, leaving the place where the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are being distributed. Insanity has many forms, and one of them is the one who misses an itikaf when he could have made it. Seriously, ask yourself, do you have iman at all? If you are telling me that you will not sit in itikaf because you have something else to do, what is that something which is more important than being a guest of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in his house? And please don't think I'm inviting you to make itikaf in this masjid. Don't even dream of that. Because we are full already. And you have to register and the whole process and whatnot. Make itikaf in whichever masjid, near your house or wherever you are. But make itikaf. Do not miss itikaf. And if you are telling me that you cannot free up 10 days out of 365, something is seriously wrong with the way you are running your life. Those who have shara'i uzur, so those who have shara'i reasons for not doing itikaf, those who have compulsions for which the reason they can't do itikaf, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give them the reward of itikaf without making itikaf, inshallah. Because Allah knows their niyyah. Ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give them this reward even without making itikaf. But those who can make itikaf and who are fooling themselves and saying, I have got this work and that work, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you hidayah before it is too late. Finally, I would like to close with the hadith that must wake up everyone with an atom's weight of iman in his heart. Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu reported that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam ascended the minbar in Ramadan and said, Ameen 3 times. Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. They asked him, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you ascended the minbar and you said, Ameen, Ameen, Ameen. Why did you do that? He sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me. Listen to the hadith. It is one Rasul talking to another Rasul. Jibreel alayhi salam is Rasul of Allah. Muhammadur Rasulullah is Rasul of Allah. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, Jibreel alayhi salam came to me and said, if Ramadan comes and a person is not forgiven, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. A person is not forgiven, meaning Ramadan has come, but the person has not sought the forgiveness of Allah, does not make tawbah, does not fast, does not pray, leaves Ramadan, does not use Ramadan to gain the forgiveness of Allah. And remember, Allah promised to forgive. So inshallah, if you are fasting and you are praying and you have made tawbah, then have complete yaqeen that inshallah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has forgiven you. So on the one hand, we have this surety, absolute certainty, inshallah. And on the other hand, having got Ramadan, we still don't fast and we still don't pray and we don't make dua and we don't make tawbah and so on and so on. Then there's a different issue. And that's what is meant in this hadith. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Jibreel came to me alayhi salam and he said, if Ramadan comes to a person, comes and a person is not forgiven, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. Say Ameen. Jibreel alayhi salam is saying to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say Ameen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, so I said Ameen. And then he said, who? Jibreel alayhi salam. He said, if both or one of a person's parents are alive. He did not say parents who are nice to them, parents who are just with them, parents who are Muslim, parents with whom he gets along. No. Whatever. Maybe your parents are unjust. There are parents who are unjust, so what is the big deal? Maybe your parents are differentiating between you and your brothers and sisters. Maybe they are not doing justice with you. Maybe they are not even nice people. There are lots of parents who are not nice people, so what's the big deal? Maybe your parents are fasiq and fajr. May Allah forgive us. Maybe your parents are not even Muslim. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not say Muslim parents. He said, Jibreel alayhi salam said, if both or one of the parents of a person are alive and he does not honor them and he dies, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away. The parents may also enter Jahannam, but the person will enter Jahannam. Because he did not honor his parents, he was not good to his parents. May Allah forgive us. We have Muslims who are bad to their parents, who abandon their parents over issues of property, over issues of wealth, over issues of you like my brother, you like my sister, you don't like me. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi rajiun. Please understand, the dua of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam is completely boundless. He did not put conditions. So don't turn around and say, but you see, my father is not a nice man. I don't care. No matter how nasty your father is, he's your father. No matter how nasty your mother is, she is your mother. The fact that they are your parents is a right on you, whether you like it or not. Now, that does not mean that the father should be unjust or the mother should be unjust. They should not be. There is a warning to the parents. Don't be unjust to your children. Deal with children with justice. Give them their due. Treat them with respect. Honor them. Make dua for them. What is the good of you elderly parents being alive if you are not making dua for your parents? You are worthless. You have no value. If you are, the only value you have is the dua that you can make for your children. And if you are not making dua for your children, if you are withholding dua from your children, then what is the good of you being alive? But that still does not absolve the child from serving the parents. Even if your father kicks you, go and serve him. Even if your mother curses you, go and serve her. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the one who does not do that will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away and say Ameen. So Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, I said Ameen. And then he said, Jibreel alayhi salam, he said that if you O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, say sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jibreel alayhi salam said, if you O Muhammad are mentioned in the presence of a person and he does not send salat and salam on you, he does not say sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he does not send blessings upon you when he dies, he will enter Jahannam and Allah will cast him far away, say Ameen. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, I said Ameen. Never let it pass that the name of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam comes before you and you do not say sallallahu alayhi wasallam. You don't have to say loudly, but say it. Let it not be that you simply say Muhammad as if you are talking about some man on the street. Muhammad ibn Abdullah, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah. That we should send salat and salam on him is his haqq. And whether we send salat and salam on him does not matter to him. It matters to us because his Rabb sent salat and salam on him before we sent salat and salam. And his Rabb ordered us to send salat and salam on him. Where he said, Inna Allah wa malaikatahu yusalluna ala nabi ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama salli ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. Allahumma barik ala Muhammadin wa ala ali Muhammad kama barak ta'ala Ibrahim wa ala ali Ibrahim innaka hamidun majid. This hadith is in Ibn Hibban and it is classed as Sahih by Shaykh Nasiruddin Albani rahimahullah ta'ala in his Sahih Targhib. And finally, to close, my brothers and sisters, my gift to you in this Ramadan, and in return I ask for your dua, and that gift is the hadith where Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, our mother, she reported this and she said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless her for the questions that she used to ask. We have our deen, a large part of our deen, because of the questions asked by Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha. She said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah, if I were to get Laylatul Qadr, how do you get Laylatul Qadr? When is Laylatul Qadr? Laylatul Qadr, please understand very clearly, no matter who says what, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's hadith, which is the only final word and the final dalil about Laylatul Qadr. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah had given me the knowledge of Laylatul Qadr, but he made me forget it because of the argument that was happening when he came out of his house. He said very clearly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told me, but he made me forget it. He said, seek Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, in the odd nights. Seek Laylatul Qadr in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, in the odd nights. So 21st, 23rd, 27th, 29th, any of these last 10 nights, the odd nights of the last 10 nights. If someone says that Laylatul Qadr is on such and such a night, it's a definite statement, Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th, then that person is speaking without knowledge. That person then is making a statement which the Prophet ﷺ did not make. If a person says, I was given this knowledge that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th, then that person has left Islam because he is receiving wahi after Nabi ﷺ. If that person says that Laylatul Qadr is on the 27th night, and on this night you must pray a particular 2 rakat of salah, then that person is committing shirk and kufr, because that person is now legislating a salah which Nabi ﷺ never legislated. Don't make games, don't play games with this religion. So Aisha Siddiqa radiallahu anha, what is she saying? Did she say, when is the night? Tell me. She said, if I were to get, did she say, what dua should I make on the 27th? Did she ask this question? She could have asked that question. So if Aisha radiallahu anha did not know the specific night of Laylatul Qadr, you think you know? Or you think your murshid knows? Or whoever is advising you knows? There have been signs which have been mentioned to say these are the signs of Laylatul Qadr. But the problem with us is we read a hadith and we don't think. Every single sign of Laylatul Qadr relates to what? The following morning. The following morning, which means what? That night is gone already. So if you saw those signs the following morning and you did not worship the previous night, then that sign, seeing the sign, is no good to you because the night is gone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clarifies for a reason, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hides for a reason. And inshallah, the reason why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hid the specific night is to enable us to gain more and more ajr by worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more and more. So Aisha radiallahu anha, this is my gift to you. Aisha radiallahu anha said in this hadith, she had asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if I should get Laylatul Qadr, what dua should I make? And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam told her, he said, you should say, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni. Allahumma innaka afuun. Oh Allah, you are the most forgiving. Tuhibbul af, and you love forgiving. You love to forgive. Fa'afu anni, so forgive me. This is my gift to you. And I ask you to make dua for yourself and for me, inshallah. Please remember that the only people who can say for sure that they got Laylatul Qadr are the people who are in itikaf. Because whichever night it was, we always have this argument about, is it this night, that night, Ramadan started in Saudi on this day, and so, no matter when Ramadan started, as long as you are there in itikaf the last 10 nights, you got Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. And then make this dua. Not only then, make this dua now, make this dua continuously. Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anni ya kareem. And I make this dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afu fa'afu anna ya kareem. My brothers and sisters, I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make this Ramadan the best Ramadan of your lives, and to remember those who were with us last Ramadan and are not with us today. Pray for their forgiveness and reflect on the fact that last Ramadan was their last Ramadan. It was the last Ramadan of their lives. But did they know that last year when they were with us here? In the same way, do I know that this is going to be my last Ramadan? And if I knew this, how would I spend this Ramadan? Seriously, ask yourself this question. If I knew certainly that this is the last Ramadan of my life, I am not going to see another Ramadan, how will I spend this Ramadan and spend this Ramadan like that? Because believe me, if you live for 1,000 years, a Ramadan will come which will be the last Ramadan of your life. So be in this Ramadan as if it is the last Ramadan of your life and my life. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be pleased with you and never to be displeased. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jalla jalaluhu to enable us
and enable all of you to fast and to worship Him and to increase the recitation of Quran and to increase the nawafil and the salawat. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to enable you to ask du'as which are beneficial for you and to give you those du'as. And then to give you that which you could not ask out of His hikmah and His mercy and His majesty and grace. وصلى الله على نبي الكريم وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.